Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I start every show now with a fun, stupid, hypothetical question to you. I'm putting myself on the spot because I didn't think of this heading in, but if it wasn't the Lakers and you had to cover a professional sports team professionally, like as your career, you have any American professional sports team, you can go European soccer team out, although I don't really know if you're up to date on those teams, but you have any team to cover, write about, who would it be if you couldn't do the Lakers?
You're not going to believe this. Probably the Knicks.
I was going to say, if you said the Celtics.
No, of course not. No, of course not. I just know how you feel, you know, about the – I like the Knicks. Like, so I grew up as a Yankee fan. But
your dad's from New York, right?
Yeah, my dad's from New York. My teams, like, my teams are basically they sound like, you know, bandwagon fandom from the 80s and 90s. I grew up with as a Yankee fan, a San Francisco 49er fan, and a Laker fan.
Yeah,
but
and I just Globetrotter fan,
right? Exactly. Yeah, Tiger Woods fan, right. Roger Federer fan.
Yeah.
My dad grew up in New York. When he got out of the army, he was stationed at the Presidio in San Francisco. That's how they went to games at Kezar Stadium. Then he moved down to LA for work and ended up covering the Lakers. So I ended up getting my teams from my dad, and there's a plausible explanation for why my dad had the teams that he had. But I don't think, like, I'd want to stay in basketball.
Yeah.
Cause I love basketball. So like, it would be fun. I enjoy New York. I enjoy the energy of their fans. I just kind of dig New Yorkers, right? That's half of my family, and I have an attraction to just their whole vibe. But I think I would trade competency, like Yankees versus Knicks, for the sport that I like, in hopes that one day, you know, James Dolan were to sell the team or something like that. But I'd want to have some, like, in some degree of investment in I want this team to do well, right? Obviously, it'd never be anything like the Lakers. It never could be. But, like, the Knicks being good again, I think would be cool. So I'd like to cover that.
You say again. I don't know if we can ever really.
I am old enough to say again. what
were you around in the 70s?
They were good in the 90s. Like, they weren't great, but they were a good team. They weren't an embarrassment like they are.
Yeah.
Like they have been for the last few years. So how about you, man? Who would you cover?
Man, who would it be? I don't know if I could stay in basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could. I'd say maybe the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers, because that's the closest kind of emotional attachment that I have out there. I feel like you back me up on this, Pete. Do you think you kind of need that emotional attachment to be able to do this?
I think it depends on what it is that you're doing. I think it's very helpful in podcasting and blogging and kind of this, you know, framework more where we got to come up with that. Yeah, it's not. We're not sports writers in a conventional sense, right? And didn't go to journalism school or anything like that. So I do think that what allows people like you and I to be able to do this is kind of constantly thinking about it in a way that if you don't care, it's harder to do, right?
Yeah.
Like that's why even if I were to do the Knicks, for example, it would be much harder because I wouldn't be thinking about the Knicks all the time. I think about the Lakers all the time, right? and which is part of what makes this period really difficult, because it was just like this season was building up and just like
and now poof, we have to turn our brains off.
Disappeared.
The reason I agree with you is because, you know, so if you go the traditional route where you go to journo school, you graduate, you intern somewhere, and you kind of get out of that system with a foot in the door somewhere else, it's a little easier to stay committed to pursuing this as a career if that's the direction that you're taking this. But in order to stick this out, you really kind of have to enjoy or love a team on an almost psychotic level, right? Because you're gonna get kicked in the balls when you feel like you have your feet out from under you. A global pandemic will strike and throw your entire world upside down after you put in, you know, we put in years to be able to do this, you know, and hell, during the years to get to where we are now, there were times where you were like, where not you, but the kind of hypothetical you, where we're feeling like, all right, finally, we're going in the right direction. We're going in the right direction. This is going to work out. And then bang, some, you know, change of heart somewhere or a company folds, you get a new owner for the site that you were running or something like that.
Sure.
You know, and you got to kind of sort of start all over again. And I feel like if you aren't passionate about the team that you're covering, you're basically doomed. You're probably going to quit before you finally make it.
If I can take this in, you know, maybe a little more somber direction, I think with everything that's going on, there are going to be a decent number of people finding themselves in positions where they're like, man, like I did everything right. And this shit just got kicked out from under me. Right. Like I was doing a good job at my work. And they find themselves, you know,
AB5, you know, did that seem
like that? Sure. Well, this is,
oh yeah, this is more widespread. Like, yeah.
Right. And it's going to be harder, I think, to bounce back from. I just want to a lot of people are going to be finding themselves in those positions that you were just describing, and even in more serious situations, even too, where just keep your head up, you know, try to focus on the things that are within your control. That's just something I've been thinking a lot of lately, is all the people whose employment situations are going to change for a variety of different reasons, and almost none of them for the better. But just focusing on what you can control, and that's not always going to be enough, but that's always something that's been helpful when I've found myself in difficult spots, especially relative to employment, and you know, the different situations you can find yourself in there. So anyway, just to our listeners, if that's difficulties you're having, you know, keep your head up, focus on what you can control, because what you just described, man, is going to be something that a lot of people are facing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, over the last week or so, this was the first time I ever really thought about, all right, I mean, maybe I should look at non-sports jobs, you know, I should take a look out there to at least try to supplement my income during this time. I haven't thought about that in, you know, maybe 2 years. And that's with this show having had the upper hand, you know, the advantages that it has had over the years, you know, getting started early on it and being fortunate enough to have the support behind it. I can't imagine, you know, the people who don't have that stuff going for them. My heart breaks for them, because feeling like you might lose out on this dream career, because it is a dream come true if you actually do make it, feeling like you might lose out on that dream come true would be pretty damn brutal. And you look, If you feel like you're in that kind of a spot and you need some direction, shoot me an email, shoot me a DM or whatever, and I'll see if there's any advice or any direction I can point you in, with whatever benefits that I have at this stage in my career. Let's try to pick up the energy on here and segue awkwardly over to the mailbag. We didn't have an episode yesterday, so we have plenty of questions to be able to get to here. So we're going to take a quick break, pay a couple bills. When we come back, we'll get to those. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the life's ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There is, however, an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is a really unique app, and it works on your phone, tablet, web browser, whatever. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading all kinds of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with this audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, lunch break, or whenever. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library, from self-help to business to health to history books. Whatever you're looking for, they got it. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had time to. I like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast-track my path to a more intelligent or informed or healthy me. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And also you'll save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, so this comes from Roberto Jones. Hi, Anthony and Pete. What if you guys did a rewatchable slash Book of Basketball style show about your favorite Lakers games ever? Talk about the games themselves, what they meant, blah, 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 blah. What direction would you take those? And let's start with, like, if you, just off the top of your head, is there a game that jumps out, you know, immediately jumps to you that you would want to rewatch and break down like that?
So I'm actually in the process of doing this for a couple. I'm doing a series for The Athletic I'll be doing on the 2010 finals. I've never rewatched the 2010 finals because they've always made me very anxious because that damn series took years off my life. I just
broke into a sweat thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be doing that. I'm going to have a YouTube video out about game 6 of the Western Conference finals where Kobe hit all those crazy shots and swatted Alvin Gentry on the butt. in terms of, you know, you're obsessed with that 40-4 quarter. I'd kind of like to watch that with you against the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
87, I want to say. So that would be a fun one to do. What are some other good ones? I kind of like, there were some games where like Kobe and Powell and Lamar were just, they played beautiful basketball when they were at their best. Like they were so skilled and smart and like great passers and just, it was just this beautiful basketball. I'd have to like find specific games, but I would like to see kind of like the best of that trio. That would be fun to watch, especially in times like these. How about you, man? What attracts you in terms of older games?
I'd like to go back to the three-peat games against the Kings specifically.
Uh-huh.
And do a lot of gloating because of how well those games were officiated. I thought they did a just bang up job personally.
I love it.
I think they did a really good job there. But also, like, just watching the sheer and utter, not just because the physical dominance is what everybody kind of thinks of immediately with Shaq, but he was so much smarter than people give him credit for.
Yes.
Understanding where the pass should go out of a double team so that the next pass could be for an assist or whatever. He'll never get enough credit for that because people think, well, he was so great physically, so dominant physically. He couldn't have also been that kind of basketball smart too. So that'd be kind of fun to watch. I would love to go back to the streak that Kobe had of five straight 50-point games and 9 straight 40-point games or something insane like that.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back and watch those. I'd like to go back to those mid-90s Lakers games because, I mean, they were a fun team that were never going to, you know, mess around and win a championship. But Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel and Eldon Campbell somehow playing basketball with a neck that didn't turn side to side.
Yes.
I love those teams. Those are the teams that I kind of cut my teeth on as a kid. And then it would be fun to go back to that. And then the benefit of that those mid-90s teams is you get to listen to Chick Hearn call games again.
Hell yeah, man. Bro, you know what's been wild about watching the 2010 games is how much the sport has changed in the last decade.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, every set, like, you know, there's there are all of these sets, these like double down screen sets that Lakers like to run, the triangle offense, but just the spacing and the mechanics of it. I don't think that there's ever been a 10-year period in the history of the league where things changed that much from that point to 10 years later, right? Like, well, even with the implementation of the 3-point line, they didn't really start catching on until a little bit later. Like, can you think of like another era in NBA history where kind of things have changed as much as they have in the last 10 years?
Well, probably when they started allowing black guys to play basketball.
I mean, in terms of the mechanics of like how the sport was strategy played, not how well the sport was played, just kind of how the sport worked.
I mean, if we aren't counting that, I would agree with you that the advent of the three point line.
Not wrong.
But the problem with like the advent of the 3-point line is that you were seen as like a coward if you shot a 3-pointer. Yeah. So like even then, it didn't even change it that much. So
took a while.
I think you're right though. I think the last 10 years, because like somebody like Andre Drummond 5 years ago, 7 years ago would have been an absolute cornerstone type player. And I'm looking at it like, I don't know if I want to pay him much more than $15 million a year.
Yeah. You know? And even then you're like, eh, right.
Yeah. That's not a good player. Like right there where I'd be comfortable paying him that he'd be an absolute dominant presence in any other era other than this one.
Right. Right. And it's not that he's a bad player. It's just what he does is not as valuable as it used to be. And you see him like, you know, he's a guy like that shooting 3-pointers. And so that's one of the crazy parts about rewatching games, even from 10, even 5 years ago, is how much the game has changed to this very strict either get shots in the key or get shots behind the 3-point line with a little bit of mid-range and post-up game mixed in here and there. Yeah, it's wild. I would love to see the game incentivize that. That's a whole another topic. I'd love to do another a pot on that. But like, I'd love to get some more of the mid-range and triple threat back in the game. But you have to incentivize it to make it make sense for teams to actually do it in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the next question here. This is from Huli_O. Hey, Anthony and Pete, do you guys think it's possible that the NBA could decide to cancel the remaining regular season games and immediately pick up in the playoffs? If so, would seeding be based on current conference standings? How might that play out now that we know the seeding? That's the only way seeding-wise that they could do it, but I think it would be legitimately dangerous if they did that.
Yeah, I think that they need – I would like to see them do 8 to 10 regular season games to wrap up and so that teams can ramp up for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In terms of the logistics, I have no idea, right? Like the organization, you know, in terms of scheduling arenas that have been booked for other events, it's going to be a logistical nightmare to do it. Even if, you know, hopefully 3 months from now, we're in a place where we can be doing stuff like that. I really don't want them to go right into the playoffs, but is it a possibility? Yeah, I could see that as a possibility, unfortunately.
Yeah. At the very least, I think they need training facilities open for a month before they get to be able to play playoff games. Mm-hmm. We're talking about player safety here, and these guys are so fine-tuned that any kind of a tweak or rushing back or whatever, I'd be legitimately concerned about that. And I think the players' union would be right to step in and say, no, we can't just turn our bodies on whenever we have to, because, you know, one thing that and I talked about this yesterday on the Silver Screen Show, but one thing that people tend to think about with NBA players, because there's so much money in professional basketball, is, well, they all have crazy gyms, maybe a basketball court in their house or whatever. But that's the case for maybe 1% of players, you know, mm-hmm. maybe 2 or 3 at most. Everybody else, for the most part, you have a lot of guys playing in cities that are not their hometown all the time. So, you know, they might have a house built somewhere and they live in an apartment during the season. And if they have that house at home, you know, their regular house, is that equipped for staying in shape, or is that equipped for, you know, recovering after a long,
basketball?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so, you know, you have a lot of these, like, you know, legitimately concerning habits that might be kind of broken or tried to relearn over this, you know, next couple months. And you're immediately jumping not just into regular season mode, not even into late regular season, the chase to the playoff mode. the actual playoffs where people are going to be playing for, you know, legacy type stuff. And I'd be nervous about just immediately launching right into that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely the case. They really need to prioritize the player's health here. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on the other end to either get as many games in or to just complete the season, right?
And yeah.
Do you go to, I think Mark Cuban was talking about like best of five series instead of best mm-hmm. of seven, which is, seems like a reasonable, like it depends on how much time they have. I'd prefer best of seven, but they're going to have to cut some corners here and there. And if that's one of the places, I would understand.
Yep. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we have a fun question about Rondo on the other side of the break. All right, so the next question here comes from J-Raw. Hey, Anthony, and possibly Pete. So my question is, do politics toward Rondo getting playing time also carry over to 2K? I got a point guard in my career, stat line of 35 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals in 21 minutes. Games coming down to the wire with it going back and forth with 5 minutes left, and I get subbed out for Rondo and bench for the rest of the game. SMFH, hashtag pineapple belongs on pizza, hashtag pizza, hashtag F Rondo. I actually have an explanation for this.
Oh, please, because I'm befuddled.
Well, I mean, I don't think 2K is going to be particularly honest. Like, if you're going to be honest about Rondo's rating, 2K rating, it'd have to be in like the 30s, right? Like he'd have to be, if not the 30s, he'd have to be worse than every other player in the NBA.
You think Rondo's the worst player in the NBA?
Yeah. You don't think so?
I don't know. I suppose I don't think about the worst players in the NBA all that often.
Like maybe, not counting two-way guys, But
bro, I miss basketball and the Lakers so much. I'm like, I wouldn't mind watching Rondo play basketball right now.
Oh, Pete, no.
Oh, no, we've reached that point of the quarantine.
No, Pete. Man. All right, fine. No, I'll send you a couple highlights.
All right. Fix that right up for me.
Yeah. I'm doing it for you as a friend, bud. I don't think 2K's ratings are going to be particularly honest to Rondo, so they're going to be slightly inflated, and he's going to get more playing time because of that. That's the politics coming into it.
Well, that works for me.
All right. Next question comes from Vegas Richard. Hey, Anthony and Pete, with the league being suspended and all, I thought it would be a great idea if you guys had an award show episode. I first want to give you guys the award for Best Lakers Podcast. Thank you. So you guys have made this season very special with all the ups and downs of this season. Some award ideas, MVP, most improved, biggest surprise, some fun ones, worst, least improved, funniest player, etc. Thanks, Richard in Las Vegas. Let's just have some fun with a couple of these just off the top of our head. Okay. LeBron is the MVP, goes without saying. Mm-hmm. Coach of the year goes to Jason Kidd.
Is it okay for me to say that Giannis is the MVP of the regular season?
No. I think just Lakers.
Wise. Oh, yeah.
No, gotcha, I agree with you. Giannis is the MVP.
Because it's a regular season award, right? Like, when it comes down to, like, getting in the playoffs and all that, like, give me LeBron 10 times out of 10. But in terms of regular season, yeah. Anyway, yes, if we're keeping it Lakers-specific, yeah. LeBron, then Coach of the Year. I'm going to go with Phil Handy. I love me some Phil Handy.
Ooh, that's a good one. Rondo should have been Coach of the Year, but he passed up on the opportunity. Most improved. Who do you think would be most improved this year?
I think that goes to Caruso.
Yeah.
Like Caruso was a G League call up that was a lot of fun in 15 games, but you know, kind of cleaned up in the garbage time portion of the season. He'd gotten consistently better. Like he was starting to become more impactful on offense. Like he had a way to go and still has a long way to go on offense, but had improved quite a bit. Kuz in like weird ways has, and in other ways was terribly frustrating. Yeah. I'm going to give that to Caruso. Shout out to KCP too. Sorry. I'm stealing all of the guys. What do you think?
I think Dwight needs mention here too, right? Because he was essentially out of the league and became a rotation player on a favorite to win the championship. I'll kind of tweak this a little bit. If you could add one thing to Caruso's game, what would it be?
Ooh, a
I'm going floater.
Floater would be good. So it's like a skill attribute. Honestly, man, like he's like an okay 3-point shooter. Mm-hmm. If he was like a, you know, high 30s, like he's like at what, 35, 36% 3-point shooter, mm-hmm. kind of needs the conditions to be right. If you could make him like a, just a knockdown spot up guy, one of those dudes that shoots like 39, 40% on just in his catch and shoot threes with like, that's a perfect 3-and-D guard right there, especially with next to a guy like LeBron, who's going to be handling the point guard responsibilities anyway. So give me like a, I know it's going in when he's open type of catch and shoot jumper.
See, my thing is, I think the gap between where he is now and where he would be in the circumstance you're talking about in that attribute of his game mm-hmm. is smaller than where he is being any kind of a threat in the pick and roll.
Right.
You know, and I think if he was just to be, you know, if he was to become any kind of a threat whatsoever in the in-between game, mm-hmm. I'd like him a lot more as a general NBA player. But yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer between those two things.
Yeah,
least improved. I'm going Danny Green.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Danny. Although Green
he stepped up his podcast game though during the break here.
He did. Him being a like experienced veteran. It's funny how like those guys they can have a lot of cachet built up in the bank. Where like Robert Horry in 2003, for example, mm-hmm. he had hit so many big shots, and it was like, yeah, Horry's looking kind of washed this year, right? Yeah. And then it's like, it's fine. He's going to be fine. Yeah, he'll be fine for the playoffs. And then he went like 2-for-31 from three mm-hmm. in the series that they lost. And then went back with the San Antonio Spurs and was not washed, right? And was a key contributor to another two title teams in 05 and 07. But yeah, that can – like I'm not saying Danny Green is washed by any means. Just, his that regular season is not –
radar.
Yeah, it's just – it hadn't been great. He's good. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a good player and has been valuable, and especially as a help defender for this team. Just like $15 million for him is just a little rough, but it is what it is.
Yep. And then funniest player. I think the only right answer here is Jared Dudley, right?
Jared Dudley is pretty damn funny.
Like he's actually funny.
Yeah, he's like he's got that like WWE hype man kind of like his like post game interviews.
Yeah.
The energy, he just like looks right in the camera like, let me tell you what, brother.
He's like licking his lips while he's talking. It's incredible. I find him like actually, because there's athlete funny where like mm-hmm. like LeBron's a perfect example of this, where he could say anything that is like just moderately funny and the entire right. scrum is gonna lose their goddamn minds.
Sure.
Right. But like I find myself chuckling at Jared Dudley's like post game stuff or even like on the court stuff, the way he like he actually looks like Elmer Fudd out there. And I can't not see it. He like runs out there like Elmer Fudd in Space Jam. It's incredible. I love it. I find him hilarious. Let's go one more question here to before we get you out of here for your Tuesday afternoon. Let's go. Chayla Bop writes, I go all the way back to Boston in the 80s watching – okay, this is a long one. I'll come back to that one. This is from M. Griffith M. Hey, fellas, with another month before basketball begins, what are the odds DeMarcus Cousins is healthy come playoff time and gets signed by either the Lakers or somebody else?
Well, the Lakers can't sign him because they cut him.
Yeah.
So
I think we passed that deadline. To
yes. Yeah, that's right. He has to be – well, he has to have been cut before March 1st, which he was, right? Because he was the first cut. Mm-hmm. So he could technically be signed by another team. That's an interesting question. Yeah, does he sign elsewhere? I suppose it's possible, especially with probably a couple months before we start back up rather than just one.
Yeah,
I think that's a possibility.
I kind of wonder if he and the Lakers have a wink-wink thing going on that, mm-hmm. you know – hey, if you stick around the organization, we'll give you another chance here next summer. I wonder if something like that is going on. And if so, if signing to another team would kind of negate that, which, you know, I could see either way. I still think just in general, it makes the most sense here for him to really just take a full year off, to get another offseason under his belt, make sure his Achilles is all healed up, his quad is all healed up, his knee is all healed up, and he has a legitimate shot at having at least one more good year in his career before he's forced to hang him up.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult to, you know, there's going to be so many moving parts to getting resumed with this season that, like, adding a guy like Boogie may be something that a team might not be terribly enthusiastic about. But then again, you also get kind of like a training camp, I would imagine, before they get up and running. There's so much we don't know, man. Like, we're kind of flying blind and like, are they going to have a training camp? How long is that training camp going to be? When will they have access to the team facilities again? All of that is going to impact kind of how this ends up looking, and we don't know. But I do think it's a possibility, and all of those factors that you mentioned as well are going to play into that.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, I keep saying this, and I'm probably going to continue ending our shows with this every single day, but please continue to be safe out there. I know, you know, with rent coming up, there's a lot of people who were saying, I got to get back to work, and I got bills to pay. I'm not here to tell you how to manage your money or whatever, but the getting this thing under control should be everybody's priority. And the only way that we're really going to be able to do that is if we're smart about staying indoors as much as humanly possible. So I really hope everybody is able to pull through this time, and we can continue to host this show, hopefully in a better all around situation when this is all said and done. But for the time being, I'm going to continue to remind people to please be smart, just because, you know, I mean, Pete, this is something that the longer people continue to be dumb about it, the longer this thing is going to stretch out, and the more people are going to be impacted and affected, and the more seriously those people can continue to be affected. And I just, I can't say it enough for people to just be smart out there.
Yeah. We went on a whole rant about this before the show, man. I will say, just like what I said earlier about, you know, focusing on the things that you can control. That's just me sharing what's worked for me in my life, because there's going to be a lot of factors out of all of our control right now. I also think that the doctors and scientists are the people that are worth listening to right now, above all else.
Even if they're saying stuff that you don't want to hear.
Amen.
Like, I know we're in a place now where you can tune out stuff that sounds like stuff you don't agree with or that you don't want to hear, but if a doctor is saying something, it's usually not to blow smoke up your ass. And I think in this case right now, it's probably best, even if they're saying, you know, unfortunate truths, that they're truths nonetheless.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the people that I'm relying on at the very least. But just, my heart goes out to everybody who's going to be facing difficult decisions and life circumstances over the coming weeks. Love to you guys. We've got a community here that I hope that you continue to rely on with the podcast, on Twitter, and all the different places. Let's just try to look out for each other.
Yep, absolutely. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.